Now, don't everybody rush out to buy a Kia, okay? They are good cars, but that's not the most important part of this season. As we see that family is one of the best parts of this season. That's Mark, how's it feel to have all the kids in the house?
Blessed.
My dad and mom said that sometimes the best gift is seeing the headlights pull in, and sometimes the greatest gift is seeing the taillights leave. But we know that families, and this was a hard subject. I was sitting there yesterday with my family at lunch, and we were still trying to come up with sermon topics. I knew Mark and Jeff were kind of going on gifts and talking about the season, and I was wanting to try to jump in there and kind of follow suit, and it hit me. Family is one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. This summer, me and Mark got to perform a wedding ceremony together for a member of our extended family, Mackenzie Sales, now Mackenzie Jones. But we see that families is very important. It was not good for us to be alone. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what each living creature was. And that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." You see, he made everything, and as he was making everything, he said, "It is good." But then he realized, it is not good for man to be alone. So we need to make a helper comparable to him. So he paraded every animal that he created right in front of Adam. And Adam named them all. And then still wasn't anything found comparable to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman. And he brought her to man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, from the beginning of time, God developed the family. He started it right here in Genesis chapter 2. As you can see, this is our family. I was looking for the clicker. There it is. This was actually taken at a different wedding. We took another picture yesterday, and I couldn't get it to my computer fast enough. I was still working on it at 4:45, trying to get the picture over to the computer to put it on the slideshow. But we took a really pretty picture in front of a Christmas tree. And all five of us had a Santa shirt on that said, Believe. So we were all decked out. But you see, we're not just a family because of our name, because we are the Gauls, but we're also a Christian family. We are the family of Christ. We see that in Acts chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, flip over to Acts chapter 11. We'll see that they were put together and called Christians at Antioch. Starting in verse 19, Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen, it traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he seen the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them all that with the purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So to be part of a family, families give us a name, don't they? You see, the Christians that all gathered together, all with one accord, got a name there at Antioch. I'll never forget. Me and my dad was delivering some cars, and we passed Antioch Church of Christ. So he texted to one of the elders and said, hey, they were first called Christians here at Antioch, and we were in Putnam County, and he was a Jackson County man. He said, you mean down in Jackson County? And got a little heated there for a second. It was kind of funny. But you see, families give us a name, and hopefully this won't be a bad saying too far later down the road. Oh no, here comes the Gaul girls. Or in my mom and dad's case, the Gaul boys, all three of us. Most of the time we ran around the church building. I was notorious for playing cup ball with one of the other elders' sons and daughters. And never forget, we were probably about 13 years old playing cup ball out under the canopy. And the cup ball was not traveling as far as we thought it should, so we had to rig it up just a little bit. We went and found a rock, and we wrapped it up inside that cup ball, and first couple hits, it would travel a little bit further. We're like, man, this is pretty good. So we put another rock in there, and man, it went a little further. It went so far, it hit a older lady at church. So then we realized we were in trouble. And we didn't do that anymore. So, but families give us a name. As Mark pointed out in his lesson this morning, in Luke chapter 2, or chapter 1, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So we're already seeing Mary had a name, who probably got it from her mother. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. You see, That's the one fun part as parents that we have. We get to name our kids. And hopefully they don't regret their names. But we, as a family, get to come up with names. Our families give us a name. And with that, it's what we pass on. That name passes down from generation to generation to generation. And sometimes we also pass down other things from generation to generation, like tradition. We pass down traits, family traits. I know one of the things that I get from my dad is I'm in the car business. And he got from his dad in the car business. We pass that down from generation to generation. We have strong family ties to that. We also, sometimes we might pass down bad traits. But in the meantime, we pass down good traits. The one thing that our families can teach us is our love for Christ. Our love for the church. Our love for the Word of God. Sometimes we ask questions. What did we learn from our father or our mother? Were they there for us when we needed them? Did they tell us about the birds and the bees? Yep, they did. On a trip back from Florida. But they share their faith with us and their feelings with us. I'll never forget, my parents were there after I had open heart surgery. And they finally said, "Son, you can go home." This has been 3 days after. "But first you have to have a bowel movement." So I went to the bathroom, come back out, and they were disappointed. A couple hours later, I went back, and I didn't know they were listening so well. I didn't know they had ears that good. But as soon as it happened, all I could hear out in the room was they were clapping because it meant we were going home. But our parents are always there for us to love us and to care for us and to be by our side. And they experience things with us. They get to experience the joys of growing our families. They experience the joys of passing on their traits to their grandkids. We had the pleasure of my parents and my in-laws all got to see us get married. And they were there at the birth of all three of our girls. They got to see all that. And I'm pretty sure there was a birth that just happened the other day and the grandparents were there. And we're all, I haven't seen pictures yet. Has anybody seen pictures? I seen Ronnie this morning. I meant to ask him for a picture and in the hubbub, we just missed each other. But I personally grew up in a home with traditional values and conventional role models. As I said, my dad is in the car business. My mom works for my dad, or vice versa. My mom may be the boss. Whoever answers to me, or whoever I have to answer to, is yes, mom or dad. I've learned that. But the truth remains, our names and our families give us a place of belonging. It gives us an identity as Christians. This is our NYG and our NKG group. It's a motley-looking crew, isn't it? But we all gathered together to make sure we had a family picture taken because that is our identity. That's what tells us who we are. If you look back from time and time again, the Israelites had an identity, didn't they? They were God's chosen people. They didn't always think that, did they? Sometimes they fell off the wagon, didn't they? But God chose them. even sent a leader to him, said, "Moses, I expect you to lead these people back. I'm going to tell you where to go because I have a promised land for them." And he went and he said, "Wait, how are they going to believe that you sent me? Who am I going to say sent me?" And he said, "I am sent me." "Okay, Lord." So he goes back and he tells them. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go. Because we have an identity. And we are the Israelites. We're not the Egyptian slaves anymore. We need to go and we need to take over our land that God has promised us." And through a series of events, they finally get the chance to go to their homeland. It takes them 40 years, but they finally make it. And through all this, they form their identity, the Israelite tribe. And that's what our identity is in Christ. We are Christians. We are put together for a purpose. We are to lift each other up. We are to help each other out. In Hebrews, in chapter 10, it says that we are to gather together to lift each other up. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Our purpose, our identity is to strengthen, to encourage, to lift each other up, to rejoice together, to weep together, and to pray together. If you ask any of the youth group kids, they'll tell you, my favorite chapter in the entire Bible is Romans chapter 12. We spend enough time on it in Bible class that they've started to memorize it. But it tells us in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." You see, if we take all these things, that is a Christian's purpose. We love each other. We are kindly affectionate to one another. I noticed a lot of people hugging today. Did anybody notice that? This is yes, this is no. A lot of people were hugging each other. A lot of people were laughing together. They were talking together. They were having fun. Somebody even came and asked me, "What were you doing upstairs this morning? Because I thought you were coming through the roof." Were we that loud? Wow, we were that loud. And I'll be the first to say, nobody was jumping up and down. So I don't know what was going on. But we were all laughing together. We were having a good time. But most importantly, we were growing together. The one thing that we've been focusing on since December started was growing together as a group. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place." You see, as a group, as Christians, we should all come together with one sole purpose, in one accord. Because that's what families do, isn't it? We come together as one family, as one unit, to grow together, to love together, and to worship together. I know we were at a funeral home for a friend of ours last night. My dad was one of the pallbearers in the funeral today. We wept together. But also that family has rejoiced with us in many occasions, and we've rejoiced with them. But families are a gift from God because we have all the many things in common. If you remember this picture, this was taken right up here. This was all our Bible Bowl group this year that all came together with one purpose, and that was to study God's Word. And we spent 3 months fully tackling 2 books of the Bible. And they understood it, hopefully a little bit, by the time we got done. But also through a couple games together, a couple meals together, they grew together as a group. We also grew together and screamed together going through the Fear Factory or Fear Farm together. Families are one of the most important things God gives us. And He gives us that every time we come together. Sometimes we may not get to see each other all that much. But you see, we all learn to love each other. And we all learn to grow and become one together. Tell you, in Acts, all throughout the book of Acts, they go through all the apostles preaching one common goal, and that is to get to heaven, to teach others how to get there. The one thing that we all need is to make Christ the center of our life, and that's what families that worship together do. Mark, in one of your classes, one of my psychology classes I took under you, one of the very first things we talked about was a family that goes to church together has less likely to divorce. A family, and then you went on to talk about a family that prays together, a family that does a Devo and reads the Bible together is less likely to divorce. I forgot the numbers that you put with that. It's been 20 years since then. But I remember that from that class. You taught something well to me. But as Christians, we all come together for one common purpose. And that is to bring others to Him. In Matthew chapter 28, we were given the Great Commission. Go into all the world preaching the gospel of Christ. That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because He came to this earth and He lived His life so that He could die. He spent 3 years teaching others. One of the things that I was looking at, you see, after He was born, He was a young man that went all around with His parents, learning His parents' trade. But it says He grew in favor and in stature and amongst men. He didn't just hide under a rock. And even at 12 years old, a young boy spent 3 days in the temple in Jerusalem asking questions and answering questions. And then His parents came looking for Him. Said, "Where have you been? Have you not known that we've been searching for you?" Now, my daughter's almost 12. She's 2 years away. But I couldn't imagine her being gone for 3 days and not knowing where she was. I don't know if I could imagine a 16-year-old being gone three days and not knowing where they are. But He was gone for 3 days from them. And He said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And they said, "OK." Okay. They didn't understand it, but his mother, it says, his mother kept it in the back of her mind all these years. And then as he started his ministry, he walked around meeting people. He must have had that personality. Because as I was reading through some of the text today, he came up to somebody and said, "Hey, follow me." Now, he probably said some other words that's not recorded, but it says, "Hey, follow me." And they dropped what they were doing and followed him. That's favor of men, isn't it? That's stature. See, as we become Christians and we grow together, we start to have favor among men, don't we? We start to create a name for ourselves. Today I got to deliver a couple of food baskets and talk to some people that I've never met before. This church donated 4 food baskets to 4 different families. Polly got to deliver 2 of them, and I got to deliver 2 of them. And as I was talking to both of these ladies that I was handing the food basket to, one of them started crying, said, I couldn't have done this without you. Thank you very much. And I said, it's not us, it's the church, the Netherlands Church of Christ. And we'd like to invite you to come and visit with us. We hope that you have a very Merry Christmas. And you see, hopefully that plants a seed that may grow in their mind, and they may come and see us. But as a family, we love together, we grow together, we reach out together, and we worship together. Are you part of that family? Again, this is our kids group and our teenagers at Amazing Acres, having a big time. And right after this picture was taken, or right before this picture was taken, that big white pumpkin right there, this little girl was carrying it over her head. I think her brother kept waiting for her to drop it. But as soon as we got parked, she goes, "Okay, Briar, it's your turn to carry it." And she was ready to get rid of that big pumpkin. Are you part of that family? Have you come to know Christ? Have you put Him on in baptism? Have you become part of that family to wear the name Christian? I'd say tonight, probably all of us have. But maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've tarnished that name. It's easy to do. But the one thing that you can do is clean it. You can ask for forgiveness. You can ask for prayers, for encouragement. And you can get back in the right standing with God. Get back in the right standing with the family. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.